your fight.
When you walk into that voting booth, looking for the real truth, well, people, this year you will find, you're looking for the bottom line. Joe Lieberman has been the one to say it straight and get it done. He's there for us once again. Now Connecticut's there for Lieberman. Look past the parties and the names. There's no room for political games. Joe stood up for us every time. It's time to vote the bottom line.
This year, Joe Lieberman may be a little harder to find in the voting booth because he's running independently in the Connecticut for Lieberman Party. You'll find his name near the bottom of column 2 on the ballot. So take your time, look carefully, and vote for Joe Lieberman.
When you walk into that voting booth, looking for the real truth, vote your heart and vote your mind. You'll find Joe on the bottom line.
I'm Joe Lieberman. I'm running for Senate, and I approve this message. Hey, friends of Joe Lieberman.
All right. Hello there. That's what I'm talking about. It is 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of November, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the pleasantly appointed and, I suspect, somewhat overdriven studios of the new Movement 107.5, which are doubling today as the studios for AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Could you turn down Dream Theater a little bit, please?
Is it loud where you are?
Thank you.
Best show ever.
Hi, Rick.
Already.
Hi, Tim.
What?
I can't hear you through the overmodulation.
I can't seem to hear anything. There we go. Oh. Less better. There we go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. You know, it's just like being home again, isn't it? And by home, I mean last Wednesday.
Home? We have no home.
Hunted, despised, distorted, and overdriven. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, by God, you can do it. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. Thank you for coming by. It is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We're all going to just pause for a moment while I consume this cup of coffee. In your head, just kind of play the Joe Lieberman jingle again. Make it go faster.
I have a
life.
You done there, Chief?
That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's do a radio program. It is 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. It is Thursday. We are here at the studios, here at the CBS Radio Portland Studios on First Avenue. Not from our typical studios at Coins. It is, if you were listening to us last week,
it's just a brief soggy walk from our radio studio.
Oh, and it's already been the best day ever in so many ways. You don't even know. We'll talk all about it in a few. Well, welcome Mailman Chris in a second. We'll get underway with everything. Don't forget, now the reason we're doing this today is because Tom Likens is in town. I think he's on a plane now, actually. Going to be joining us on the 2 o'clock hour in this very studio, in this very chair. And usually when they say this very chair, they mean some other chair somewhere else. They're speaking figuratively, not literally. I actually mean this very chair. Tom will be right here, and then he'll be doing his national show from the same building later on today, and then tomorrow. Be there. Just 28 hours from now. In fact, exactly 28 hours from now, Tom will be starting his national show from downtown Portland at Barracuda, 3 to 7. No ticket, no minimum, no muss, no fuss, no drifts, no runs, no errors. Just be there tomorrow, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. tomorrow at Barracuda. Thank you for coming by. Scotty's typing Merry Christmas greetings on the screen for no readily identifiable reason, so I'm just going to block it out. Welcome to the Rick Emerson Program. Before we go any further here, it's a rotating wheel of volume today. Let's see how loud this is.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, official stenographer, mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
No!
Oh, there he is. All right.
He's
hello,
so
Chris.
Tiny.
Can you hear me? Is it cold where you are?
I love this job.
How you doing, sir?
I can't feel my hands, but other than that, I'm okay.
You can't sell your aunt.
No, feel my hands.
Is it possible to drop the music bed underneath Chris a little bit there? And there you go.
That was magic.
Fantastic.
We can't even hear the music bed, so.
Well, that's good. Long as it all works out properly. All right. You can't hear the music bed. You can't feel your hands. Maybe it's just you.
It could be.
All right. Before we go any further, let me just say this, by the way. Do you never really appreciate Scotty J until you come in and realize you have to make coffee yourself? You walk back into the kitchen, it's just not. When you walk into that kitchen room and you realize that there's no coffee made, and then you realize that the guy who usually. That I've become just. I live in this hermetically sealed bubble now where everything is just hand. It's like that Elvis documentary. Have you ever seen that Elvis documentary? I forget what it's called. It's the one. It was right before he died when he was big, fat, bloated. Beef tallow Elvis, and there was this long tracking shot where they would. It was kind of like a Goodfellas thing, but they followed Elvis from his dressing room all the way down the hallway. It was like when he was playing Caesar's Palace or something. And he was following him from his dressing room all the way down the hallway, all the way up the stairs, down a windy path, up a thing, and then out onto the stage. And he had like 15 different guys who flanked him every step of the way, and each of them had just the tiny, most minuscule job in terms of pampering the king. Not unlike when we were telling that story about Snoop Dogg and how Snoop Dogg has that guy. He's paid like $2,500 a week just to have a joint ready at every opportunity. Like Elvis would leave his dressing room, and there was like one guy that would, here's your cigarette, King, would hand him the cigarette, wouldn't light it, just hand it to him. Like another 15 feet down the hall, another guy would light the cigarette. Then Elvis would take two drags, another guy would take the cigarette. Then like a fifth guy would throw the cigarette away. Then like a ninth guy would just sort of cup his buttocks as he walked by. It was all very exciting.
Wasn't this about coffee?
Yes, it was, Jim Riley. Thank you for calling.
I was waiting for the answer.
No.
What happens when the coffee runs out?
Then we have... The answer to all questions are, then we eat you. Oh. This week, all questions are answered with the phrase, then we eat Tim Riley.
Is there a button that's pushed that lights up in another room, signifying that
Tim Riley button? Yeah. Tim Riley is now being served. Rick has dibs on the butt. And Sarah called the...
No, that was mine.
Oh, I called the thigh.
Yes.
All right.
God, we're weird.
Your succulent inner thigh.
There's plenty of me to go around.
Genius. All right. The best thing is on the screen right here, the call screening software, it just says, because normally if you look at the call screening software, it'll say like, Bob, you know, calling from Southeast, like, thinks you are an a-hole, you know, or whatever. Next to it just says, mailman Chris, and then Dex, cannot feel hands. All right. Speaking of coffee, though, but Scotty J is typically one of the many services he performs that we do not perhaps adequately thank him for on the air. He constantly keeps the coffee canisters fresh and replenished when we're at 3rd Avenue. That is not today. And so we're here drinking, no disrespect, this swill that they have in the kitchen here, which probably would not taste so bad had they not switched to that freshly ground system over a coin. This is probably fascinating to everybody who's listening. Chris, here's what we're going to try to get to today. Are you at work or are you just like laying around at home?
No, well, I would hope if I was at home I'd be able to feel my hands. No, I'm out here and it's freezing and wet.
Maybe your son is slowly poisoning you. Who's to say?
That could be.
Anywho, speaking of which, I got a whole bundle of email about your kid yesterday, and then with the kid, and the depression, and the cutting, and the goth poetry, and the you can't view my MySpace profile, and the so forth. Now, here's my, see, and I'm really torn about this. I'm really torn about you and your kid and his MySpace, and the fact that you're not able to sort of look at it and whatever. And I'll get to that observation in a moment. Don't let me forget this, because I was thinking something yesterday afternoon, and I'm going to expand on it a little bit today.
Okay.
And I never know whether that word is expand or expound. Like when you say, let me...
Like my own?
Yeah, well, like, no, let me expound on a few things.
Like you and yous.
No, not at all like that. It's just, no, they're two different words. No,
yeah.
One is... No, there's expand, and then there is expound. They are two different words, and I never know which one to use. It's like this. It's like when someone says bald-faced lie and bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
Which one is it? Sarah, college girl, go.
I thought it was bald face.
See, but that, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
You have a bald face.
Bald,
we all have bald
so
faces.
So do you.
All right.
That's
doesn't mean
anything. Of bald face.
So it's just, so it originally was bold. This show is becoming more interesting by the moment. Here's what we're going to do today. We have news that hurts today. A long segment of news that hurts. We have a story featuring today's phrase that pays. Her eyeball was completely flat.
Oh!
Yeah, see you right there. It is today's worst story ever.
Is that from that catapult story?
No, it's not. No. Oh, okay. No, those people were flat to begin with.
Okay.
The last time we were here, we had the story about the dog and the daycare and the hey-hey and the and then yesterday we had the story about the hick and the trailer park and the mom and the drunk and the sex and the get off of her.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, well, you really, don't speak until you've heard it. Don't speak. Until you've heard our story later on. Today we have the worst story ever. Her eyeball was completely flat.
Worse than the son raping his mother?
Well, she was drunk.
It was Alabama.
She was showing her ankles. I'm assuming. She was lying around showing all her business in a dingy house dress. That does pass for consent in Alabama.
While reading the good book.
Yes. Seriously. Lisa Goddard will join us later on today and tolerate all my juvenile foolishness as I probe for more mudslinging during this midterm election season. Tom Likas is going to be in the studio in the 2 p.m. hour. And, in fact, I know that they are here because I handed them over myself. We got the new shipment of Onion books. And we'll be playing Spot That 80s Crap later on because we're here in the studios of the new Movement 107.5. Where they've left in the corner just big racks and piles of dusty CDs that'll eventually just be put into the trash. Well, they'll be fished out by homeless people and they're sold for 15 cents each at a pawn shop. But before that can happen, we will use them for another tedious and predictable contest. What else? I think that's it. I mean, I could tease other stuff, but really, what is the point? I think we all know that I would not get to any further teased stories. So there you go, my friend.
We stay with these five. That way, when Tom's there and I call, we can say that you successfully got everything.
Fantastic. All right.
Now,
so
your actual number going into today is 48. We will change that to 18 for the purposes of today only.
But this is a cosmetic change.
That's correct.
Is this sort of like that WKRP in Cincinnati when Hoyt Axton comes to visit and Jennifer has to pretend that she's married to Dr. Johnny Fever because she made a pledge to marry TJ when she was 8 years old in West Virginia?
It's exactly like that.
Thank you. That's the correct answer.
Sir. Nobody remembers that.
I remember that. I even remember what song he was singing on the guitar while sitting in the lobby talking to Johnny Fever. I will not torture you with that knowledge right now. All right, there you go. And real quick, what time is this clock accurate? Is it 15?
Yes.
Because what I don't want to do is be late for any of our fine CNN radio correspondents today. I would hate to engender the wrath of anybody who might snippily man the phones at CNN radio headquarters. That would be wrong. A thing that I will not do. Real quickly, Chris, I know you got to get back to work and so forth. Speaking of which, when you were on the phone yesterday, were we interrupting you with like an actual customer? Were you the postal recipient?
I was in the shop, and she walked up and knocked on the window, so I had to roll the window down and help her.
Fantastic. I'm just picturing like an old one, like that woman from Futurama with the big house dress. You, in the last couple of days, you've been talking about your kid and how he's gone a bit wacky on you as he plunges ever further towards his teenage years. And you are not able to view his MySpace profile, right, because it's set to private and he won't let you. How sad. Now, let me ask you this, and I hate to be like I'm just milking this, but I really have to ask. So your kid set his MySpace profile to private. Did you ask to be his friend and then he denied?
No, actually, I was a friend on his, and there was some unpleasantness with me being dad and telling him he couldn't use my computer to get online.
Uh-huh.
And so he just decided to take it out on me by, fine, I'll see. You see how I like it. I'm going to remove you from my MySpace.
He listed dad from your MySpace friend. It's genius. So, and I really am torn about this because I'm all for teenagers, the people having it, the privacy and so forth. But on the other hand, it does seem like MySpace, as we've talked about before, like with LiveJournal, it's a public forum, right? It's a thing that is theoretically out there for everybody to see. Even if it's even if you have a private profile on MySpace, I mean, you choose to show it to all kinds of people. So here's what I was thinking. I was thinking that because the Rick Emerson Show cares deeply, that we could actually ourselves, because I've had this request from somebody else, we could actually construct a fictitious MySpace profile. We could construct a fictitious 15-year-old, create a MySpace profile for them, and then that 15-year-old could become your son's best friend.
You know, this has all the earmarks of something that's going to go terribly, terribly wrong.
Yes, yes. But fortunately, I have a radio program. We can capitalize on every fantastic screaming second of it. So, because somebody, and I'm not going to name names, Susan Reynolds, had also mentioned that her daughter had a MySpace account that... And I won't reveal anything about it except to say that there were apparently many, many incidents of unpleasantness there because the daughter, I think at one point the daughter was claiming to be 19, and that's not going to lead anywhere good. So we should totally, this is a service, we could make money on this, where we just pretend to be teenagers, sort of like an FBI, but without the meet me at the motel part. And it will just, we'll pretend to be teenagers, and then we can just let you know what your kid's doing. And then we can read his gothic poetry on the air every day.
Oh, the kid doesn't need any more reasons to slice himself up.
Oh, please. No one releases their gothic poetry on MySpace to be anonymous. That's the whole thing, right? If you really were just feeling it, if you really were feeling that your insides were a thousand shade of raven-hued purple, then you wouldn't type it and send it to everybody. I mean, he shows it to me, and I've only met him, like, once. And he's, like, every hour and a half, I see some other long, Plath-esque conglomeration of stanzas going by in my MySpace thing. So there you go. So the Rick Emerson Show is going to do that for you, Chris.
I'm just picturing a few years from now when Maury is out. So at what point did you decide to have... Oh, boy.
And then when he's reading the news story that ends with, before being subdued by police. So,
yeah.
All right. We will check in with you at the end of today's program, but we'll get cracking on the MySpace thing.
Okay, so I'll call in. Right. Tom will be there, so I'll call in, 5 to 3 or whatever. Sarah, you going to have to push up there in front of Tom?
Oh, you've got to remind me. Call back and remind me.
Yeah, be sure to do that, whatever you do.
I should make myself a sticky note right now. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks so much. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, buddy.
All right, there you go, Lisa. Thank you. There you go, that's Mailman Chris, plunging headlong into the gloom to deliver your post. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon.
Oh, boy.
You're looking fantastic today.
Thank you.
That was your morning.
Oh, boy.
Would you like
it? It was a good one.
We don't even have time to talk about it now, do we?
No.
Because there's like five different... I only know... And typically, I don't ever find out about how your day has gone until we're right here at this section of the program. And then I ask you, and then you say, well, I was whatever. I was abducted and sold into white slavery or something. But here's how I know how part of your morning went. It's because the phone rang at like 10 after 10 with a whole lot of like, I'm on the goddamn bus. I'll be there in a... And then you just
Luckily, that was after it got... after my phone got shut off. I was actually able to call you. It was so awful. I left my phone over at Nate's. Then, so I had to drive there, get it. I had to wipe up Muppet because he's completely wet. Waited for the bus in the pouring rain for 25 minutes.
Was it that thing where the bus never comes along and then like nine of them come at once?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they all splash you as they go by.
Uh-huh. It's genius.
So that, then I tried to call you and my phone was shut off and I had to pay $200 to my freaking Verizon bill.
Yeah.
And then the DA called me for my case that informing me that it was this morning and where the hell am I?
I thought she pled guilty.
She did. Well, she pled guilty this morning. And I guess I was supposed to be there, but I thought she said next Monday. So I missed that.
Now, why do you have to be there if she pled guilty? Isn't the judge just going to stick her in the hooscow or whatever?
Yeah, well, I guess I just have to be there to witness and then, like, tell the judge what I want.
Are they going to let you weigh in on the sentence?
I hope so.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Make them cut off all her hair.
And her limbs. and then let us toss her down a hill and set her on fire.
Well, after she gets convicted, like, since she's pled guilty, I can post her MySpace.
Why would you even say that? Make the judge cut off her hair. Where does that even come from? Scar her!
She's going to take her dignity.
And so, because this is what we've talked about, we have so much to get to, and we are going to have to break in like 2 minutes, but this is the woman who, because she's now admitted it, right? She's copped to it.
A young woman, I'm not going to say her last name, her name is Juliet.
Yeah.
Juliet hit my car.
Hit your car while driving a car that did not belong to her.
Her good-for-nothing parents lied and said that their car was stolen, when in fact they knew that their daughter, Juliet, took their car, smashed it into mine, and
ran off
with a guy that she wasn't supposed to be dating, I
Bam.
Guess.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, cheating on her boyfriend or whatever, and, yeah.
Or whatever. Not that we know anything about that, Juliet.
Yes, Juliet.
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 Where art thou now, Juliet?
Cut off her hair. You should totally offer that. Like, if they say,
yeah, I want you to do that.
What are the odds of them giving her jail time? I mean, are they going to give her...
They're going to give her, like, 2 or 3 days in jail.
She looks soft. I don't think she lasts.
No.
I saw her in court that day.
No, but she was just polished. Underneath that, you could see some scars and tattoos, I bet.
see the bare-knuckle brawler that she typically is.
Cleaning up good for the judge.
All right. So what if it wasn't all of her hair? What if it was just like a...
Shave it right down the middle?
Seriously, would you just give her like a reverse mohawk right down the middle?
Oh.
Or if you didn't get to cut off her hair, but if we get to pull out one good chunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. And she couldn't make any noise or we'd do it again.
That's just creepy.
I'm sorry. Hello. Why don't we just make her put the lotion on her skin? Tim Riley is working on the... We'll talk more about this. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Well, Ann Coulter could get prison time for filling out a phony address at her voting registration.
Oh, let it be true.
Boy Crazy Mark Foley gets 30 additional days in rehab to make doubly sure he's purged of personal demons.
Jeez.
And a Mark Foley film appearance is uncovered, leading to landslide sales of a DVD. John Kerry will be packed away and placed in an attic until after the election.
Fantastic. All right, so that's what we're going to do. We are at the studios of the new... And I say this because the mic processing, and when I say mic processing, you know, you go to the store and you buy that stereo when you're in college that costs you $69.99, and it's like the big console stereo with the two detachable speakers, and it's got the turntable on top and the three-band equalizer in the middle that looks like six bands, but there's really only three, and then it's got the two tape decks down below and a CD player on the bottom. Well, imagine instead of that six-band graphic equalizer in the middle, imagine if you had like a 5,000-band graphic equalizer. That is essentially what we use to process these microphones. And every studio, every microphone, every building, they've all got mic processing that is processing it ever so slightly different. So I explained that we're on AM 970, obviously, today, and every day. But we are broadcasting from different studios today, so if it does sound a little strange to you, that is why that
is. We've got a break. We can't keep our CNN guests waiting.
I don't want Laura to be mad at me.
Yeah, I don't want Laura to yell at me on the phone again.
But we want to hear each other through this beautiful mic processing.
Let's cut her hair. What?
She doesn't have much hair to cut.
That was Sarah Dillon who said that.
She doesn't. She has short hair.
Like you sounded like a man there. Laura! 503-733.
I get yelled at for your irreverence and kookiness and not getting to anything. I get yelled at by Fiona.
Your irreverence and kookiness. Your chicanery.
That's been the hallmark of this program for many years.
Giving you irreverence and kookiness since 1998. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Tom Likas in studio later on today. We'll come back with Lisa Goddard from CNN. Later on, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. It's AM 570. Solid State Radio. George Emerson radio program on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Listen to that. Did you hear me hit that post? Back up, woman.
All right.
503-733-2970. That one's going out to Big D Snyder of the First Avenue building. We are broadcasting for the studios of our sister station, the New Movement 107.5 today in preparation for a visit from our good friend Tom Likas, who'll be here in the 2 o'clock hour and then broadcasting live from here today. And then he'll be at the Barracuda tomorrow afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program. CNN correspondent to the stars, fashionably attired and with a handful of tasty knowledge, Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
And hello.
My knowledge is great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
No.
Best show ever.
She's supposed to be there.
Maybe I can just talk to myself in her voice. That won't be creepy at all.
Lisa and I were talking during the break, and guess what?
Hi.
She wasn't going to be there? She was going to hang up and abandon us?
She's a huge Joshua Jackson fan.
Fantastic. Wait, hold on. Stop. Scotty is telling me on the screen that he can hear Lisa Goddard.
Hi, Scotty.
But that we cannot.
Scotty, right.
Lisa Goddard is apparently there. Lisa, I know, it sounds as though I've gone mad. And that, there she is. Hello.
Hi,
Lisa. How are you doing?
Well, hello. I was going to try and just do some Morse code for you guys, hoping that would work.
That's a whole lot better than me talking to myself in your voice, which just would have unnerved everybody.
I'm sorry for calling you out about Joshua Jackson, Lisa.
You know what? I bear it with pride. I am not backing down from that.
Here's the thing. Is the next, what is today? Today's the second. So next Tuesday, next Tuesday, though, we're going to see the screening of the new Emilio Estevez film, Bobby.
Bobby.
Yeah, which is about Robert Kennedy. And then the next day, Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek, so I'm told, is going to be in the studio with us.
No, stop playing dumb.
I didn't know, but that's the thing.
Everyone's seen an episode of Dawson's Creek.
Look, I'm not trying to be hipper than the room, and as Stephen King once said, you don't get brownie points for being out of touch with your own culture. So I'm not saying this as like one of those guys. I'm not a Luddite when it comes to pop culture, as you know.
Indeed. Well, here's the thing. You should be very thankful to Dawson's Creek, because without Dawson's Creek, we would not have Katie Holmes.
Well, Tom Cruise wouldn't have Katie Holmes.
Well, and then you wouldn't have Tom Cruise in his peak craziness.
Yeah, That really is true. Had it not been for Kevin Williamson and his fine teenage soap opera.
Oh, listen to that.
See, I know who wrote it. See, how perverse is that? I know who wrote Dawson's Creek. I know many of the actors and actresses. I've just never seen an episode of it.
It's time.
Well, I suppose. Is it out on
Dawson's Creek Festival this weekend? Instead of paying attention to the election, you can focus in on the complicated dynamics of teenage relationships.
Well, look, let me just tell you this. I don't mean to sound like a cynic, but really, Dawson's Creek probably has more of a tangible impact on my day-to-day reality than any of these elections will do. And I appreciate your segue, by the way.
Thank you. High five.
So let's talk about Karl Rove's new best friend, John Kerry.
No kidding.
I mean, I know that it sounds like we're just Xeroxing yesterday's story, but here's the thing about this is, it is sort of the story behind the story to me, which is... Mm. John Kerry claims he's meant to say one thing, he says another, bam, that's it. It's now about how everybody handles it, and clearly, the problem with something like, let's go back to Monica Lewinsky, is that it just becomes an endless game of retribution on every side. And so, like last month it was Mark Foley, and right now it's the GOP's turn just to get the big brass knuckles and just beat the Democrats in the face with this John Kerry thing.
Well, it's true. The funny thing about it is the Democrats, as soon as John Kerry apologized, they were saying, okay, that's great. We're happy with that. That ends it, you know, tongue in cheek.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so, but you know, on the campaign trail, all of those candidates, all 435 of those House candidates, the Republicans rather, are using this and going to be talking about it. Who knows if they're going to be talking about it at the microphone, but certainly they and their staffers are going to be bringing it up as they knock on doors, that kind of thing. And they know which households care about the military. They know who this sort of thing really makes mad. And Kerry just did so much harm to himself by, again, sticking with, you know, letting them call him yet again a flip-flop.
I know, because he said he wasn't going to apologize, right? And then the next day, I'd like to apologize to...
So, I mean, you know, anything can happen in politics. Anyone can have certainly a change in wind. We saw Bill Clinton do that. But just John Kerry's future as a national candidate, it just seems far-fetched to think that he really has a significant chance. Of course, anything can happen, as I said, but right now it certainly doesn't look good.
I suppose. And you know, the thing about this is that you get all of the people on the Democratic side who they make all the right noises, like Howard Dean came out and said, well, anybody can make a blooper. Hillary Clinton's always there to put the boot in. I find she said he found his comments incredibly inappropriate. Al Gore strangely silent on it. So that's a whole lot of just sit there and let your opponent destroy himself kind of a thing.
That's exactly what it is. And by the way, I really love the troops. I love them a lot. I love them so much. They're the greatest. They're the best troops ever. You hear a lot of that. And I'm not saying anything myself about the troops. I'm not trying to get into trouble. But you really hear all of these candidates trying to outdo each other in their praise of our troops. And really, of course, what matters is what money are you spending on the troops? What are you doing about the troops? But here we're stuck in this rhetorical game of who loves the troops the most in word, when really the issue is what is our government doing to help them over there?
Is it, am I sort of just hallucinating this, or is this, and we seem to hear this every four years, is this kind of, have we reached a new, depending on who you are, either low or high in negative campaigning this year? Because the turnaround time on something like exploiting, like John Kerry's statement, it used to be, a couple days, a week, and then the Carville and Begala really revolutionized that with the war room. But now it's like, man, it's like somebody says something boneheaded, and 2 minutes later, it's in an ad that is in my inbox.
Right. Well, it was interesting that Kerry made the remarks on Monday, and a lot has been made of the fact that it really wasn't a story until Tuesday, because the Los Angeles media didn't really go with it. And that's a whole other story. But what's changed this year is it may not be, we've always had negative campaigning. Everyone likes to say, oh, it's gotten worse and worse. What has gotten worse is the amount of spending. We're at about $1.8 billion with a B dollars in ad spending, and the vast majority of that is for negative ads. And so it's just that there is so much more of it. There's always been this sort of tenor to politics, American politics in particular, going back to just after the revolution. But now we have $1.8 billion worth of it. And so it's like slogging through a cranberry field of negative ads. It's terrible.
Slogging for a cranberry field?
Where that came from. I have no idea.
Are there cranberry fields?
I'm thirsty. Well, actually a cranberry bog would be the correct way to describe. For some reason, I thought Oregon had many cranberry bogs, but I suppose you don't.
I think only J.R.R. Tolkien novels have cranberry bogs. And even that, I'm not sure. I have one small surprise for you here before we let you go. But we'll talk more about this kind of as we lead up, all the way through Tuesday. But I got to ask you this: Are Democrats doing a really bad job of, as salespeople say, managing expectations, or is it just me? Because, I mean, it really does seem like they've done everything but pack their boxes and get ready to move in.
Yeah, I think that I think now they're trying to tone that down. They're getting it this week that they need to be careful. But I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, their game was they were running with the idea of perception is reality. We want people to think we're going to win, and then they'll vote for us. Well, now they're going the other way, because they don't want to pick up a lot of seats and then be seen as having lost, because everyone expects them to do better. So it is one of these, you move a little bit to the right and then you jig a little bit back to the left, and that's what they're doing. They wanted people to see them as winners, and now they have, but now perhaps they can't possibly meet the expectation of beating every Republican in the country, which I think some Democrats out there may have.
It's funny, when I was talking to Candy Crowley, I don't know, about 7-10 days ago or something, we were talking about the Democrats, and I was so great. I asked her if the Democrats were viewed as powerful by anybody, and she just snickered. There wasn't even a response. She just sort of snorted, and we moved on. Let me play this. I mentioned this yesterday. We had this. We had the Joe Lieberman jingle that he's playing.
Yes.
I now have this small segment of Joe Lieberman attempting to sing along with his own jingle and clearly not knowing the words to it.
Outstanding.
All right, let me play this here.
Walk into that voting booth, looking for the real truth. Vote your mind, find the bottom line.
There you go.
That is outstanding.
That's a little present for me to you. Be getting your questions together for Joshua Jackson as well. That'll be next Wednesday on this very fun radio program.
I'm actually going to call together all my girlfriends. We're gonna get together and talk about it.
And if you have any questions you want me to ask them, please feel free to send them.
Okay.
And then you can all do each other's hair. All right. Lisa Goddard from CNN. Thank you, Lisa.
You got it.
And talk to you soon. All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard from the Hill. All right. And... All right, there you go. I keep forgetting that she called the back line in here that I feel we have to proactively end that call before I make any creepy comments about cutting anybody's hair. Yeah, good times. Yeah. All right. Oh, by the way, as a side note, and we'll do a few things here, and then we'll break. I don't know, in a short while, we'll come back at the top of the hour with Jim Rogers. Before we go any, did you just break something?
I have too many mouses, Mike.
Okay, you can't say mouses, and everybody does that, but it's incorrect.
Okay, mice.
It is, in fact, mice.
I know it's mice, but I'm not talking about the animal. I'm talking about the mouse.
It doesn't matter. If you have more than one computer mouse, it is still mice.
Okay.
You know what it is? It's like, and I was talking about this a couple weeks ago with somebody, that when you say, I texted him last night, and it just sounds like such bad pigeon English. It's a word that I suppose is technically correct, but it's like when you say something is my fort, which is technically right, but it just makes it sound like a goddamn tool. Speaking of tools, but just speaking of other things, we won't be able to get to this probably until next hour, but you will note that while cleaning out some files, I was just kind of going through and throwing a bunch of crap that's accumulated, and because I get, like all people at all radio stations everywhere, I just get these resumes and air checks and tapes and the CDs and crap in the business from people, I wish to be a radio star, would you... I have no experience, and I do not bathe regularly. Do you have any sort of a weekend program for me? Mm-hmm. I would like something where I may pick nits out of my hair while taking calls about the, you know, and just... And so while I was sorting through a big pile of air checks, you know what I found? Right here, ladies and gentlemen, in my hand, I have Scotty J's air check that he dropped off when he was endeavoring to get a job with it. And I had forgotten where I put it. I thought it was lost to us forever. This is like one of those, it's like all that rare film from The Tonight Show that they thought was gone and they found it like in a dumpster in La Jolla somewhere. I have in my hand Scotty J's original air check CD that he dropped off with us. So we will get to that. Yeah, I know. Well, Scotty shouldn't have given it to me. You give me something, it's going to get played. That's just the way that it is. That's the way that this works. All right. So before we do, and then we'll get Kevin here in just a second. So before, because he has an answer to a thing. Before we do any of that, here is what else is coming up today. We have some of the brand new Onion books we're going to be giving away. And so for that, we have pillaged once again the stack of CDs in the back of the studio here. And some of them are unlabeled. In fact, we should try to get one of those done before the top of the hour. So Scotty, here's what we will do, Scotty. We will take callers 5, and then as a backup, we'll take callers 6 here. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And we'll do another round of Spot That 80s Crap. 503-733-2970. And we'll go through one of these CDs and we'll do that. People have asked me about the woman who hit your car, though, because we had to interrupt that story there. So here's the thing. So you had a bit of a morning anyway because you missed the bus. And there's nothing, and let me just say this. Why is it always when it rains? And as a subset to that question, and I know that this is a frequent lament slash complaint of mine, but I'm feeling empowered to talk about it again because Jeff McGinley from engineering was in here. He was making the same observation, which is that it rains 7 months out of the year. Quit pretending like you've never... It's not oobleck. It's not like it's some brand new viscous goo that's falling out of the sky. It's just goddamn water.
You sound a little crazy.
I'm not crazy. I'm just saying... it's like those people who claim that the cell phones cause folks to drive badly. Really, if you can't hold a conversation with somebody, that really is just, it's not even one step, it's half a step above walking and chewing gum. If you are not able to turn a steering wheel while asking somebody where they want to eat dinner that night, you really ought not to be in charge of a 2,000-pound box of steel and glass that is rolling down the street at 55 miles an hour. You ought to be taken and put down somewhere. That's all I'm saying. Just if not for you, then for the rest of us. But Jeff McGinley made that observation, which is that it goddamn rains 7 months out of the year. And it's not like, look, and it's not like it's black ice. It's just a little bit of water on the road. So why don't you just get your act together, you bunch of bastards? It took me, I left the house at 7:10 this morning. I got to work at 8 o'clock. I live like 5 minutes from work. Make any sense at all? The one day out of the week, I'll not bicycle today. I'll take a car. How bad could the traffic possibly be? And so you, one step better than me, though, because you didn't bicycle, but you did take the bus.
And then I had to walk like 10 blocks.
Well, and because you took the 14, right, which drops you off right in by the courthouse or whatever the hell. And did that thing happen this morning? We were waiting for the bus, and I swear to God that they do this just to screw with you. There's some sort of like a college psych 101 test where they do it just to see at one point I'll snap and start weeping like a small child, where no buses will come. No buses will come. And it's always on like the coldest, most miserable day of the friggin' year. You're standing there, the buses, and then they all come by at once. There's like 17 buses. They all roll by. And then the first three just go by, and the driver sort of waves at you. That's it. They don't stop. They don't stop. They don't do anything. They just sort of, and they'll jerk the thumb like as they go by, like, "Hey, there's another one coming." And meanwhile, you know, you're standing there, and your clothes are stuck to your body because you're saturated with the. Is somebody calling?
I have to pick up the warm light. I don't know how to pick it up off the board. Hello.
Why? Hello there. Hello.
Hey.
Hi, is this the party to whom I'm speaking? Hi, this is the Rick Emerson program.
Hey, Rick, it's Laura with CNN Radio.
Hi, Laura,
are
you?
We can't figure out how to pick up the phone when it's not on the board.
We really are just primates in the studio here, and we're not even at the opposable thumb stage. So when things blink or beep or anything activates or something turns itself on and off, we just randomly jab at buttons until something happens.
This is why we run late. He never stops talking.
Okay, I kind of figured that there was some punching involved.
Yes, should I put you on hold?
Not available?
I'm gonna ask if it was okay for Jim to call you guys just about 2 minutes late.
Oh God,
absolutely.
You know, late is always fine with us because I do have a tendency to run on, as Scarlett O'Hara.
And we did get We got Lisa on time.
Yeah, she was fantastic as always, Laura.
Well, that's awesome.
Yes, and she's a big Dawson's Creek enthusiast.
Is she really?
I want to pass that along to you so that you know more about her as a person to strengthen your day-to-day relationship with her.
Well, now that has just made my day.
Well, there you go. Rick Emerson cares. He tries to help.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
You guys continue with your show.
Thank you, Laura.
Bye.
All right.
Let's see. Okay.
That was awkward. I swear to God, for all the world, I was convinced that she was calling up to Remus about something.
To say that, that we had left Lisa on the phone for 1 minute.
Look, and I love Laura Caviezel, I really do. But she is sort of like the Ike Turner of guest bookers, in that she's like so mean to us all the time that whenever she's nice, it's just sort of a... Like, I do feel kind of like a battered husband, where I'm just sort of like, she's being nice to me today.
You're torn, and I don't know, like, what shows she listens to. I have a feeling that she started to listen to the shows.
Changed after all. I had some point. Oh, anyway, so you ended up taking the bus today.
Yeah.
So you take the bus. You're trying to call me to tell me that you're going to be late, but you can't because they've just turned off your phone, which is great. Now, did you know that you were $200 in debt to Verizon?
No.
Because how could you have known? It's not like they send us bills or anything.
Well, they're doing this horrible / brilliant thing where they shut off your phone when you don't pay the bill for them.
How can you possibly get in touch with them? I need to call Verizon and pay my... And then you're stuck error loop.
No, they shut off your phone so that all you can do is call Verizon. So you call and all of a sudden it's like, para español, uno, numero uno. And it's like, hello, welcome to Verizon. I'm like, this isn't Rick.
It's become one of those emergency phones that will only call the cops.
Exactly. So you can't dial out. I found out you can't text message because I thought maybe I could get around it by text messaging.
There's no getting around it.
Yeah, so now I'm $200 in the hole.
Now, do you have an endless text message plan? Do you have like an all-you-can-eat kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Because I just tell you this, and I won't mention any names, and I really won't, but I'll say that it's somebody who we work with here. So it's one of the people on the sales side of things. But he had checked out his kid's phone, which is always a bad idea for any hundreds of, or if you're Reese Witherspoon. It's a bad idea. But he had looked at his kid's phone, and not for any scurrilous purpose, I believe, but just to see, like, you know, what the minutes were that month. Because there's a thing, and I forget how to do it, but there's a thing you can type on your phone, and it'll tell you what your text messages are. And this was, like, the 20th of the month, and the kid had already sent 5,000 text messages and had received almost that many. And that's how they screw you, by the way. I'm not saying it's some sort of illicit business practice. I'm saying you don't really consider that. Because when you send one text message is always two. Because you're either getting a response from somebody right away or then you are responding to something. So really, every text message you send or receive, it's really two text messages if you think about it. But yeah, this kid was already like 9,000 text messages for the month. And that's where you hear those stories about, like, the people just suddenly they're, like, up to their eyeballs and hocked to the phone company. So, anyway, so you miss the bus. Your phone has been shut off. By the way, it's the day that we're all trying to look presentable because Lykus is going to be in the studio. So Sarah's trying to look all hot, which you managed to pull off anyway. But you did come in looking a little bedraggled today. And then you found out that you missed the court date for this terrible human being that hit your car.
Yes.
But what I don't understand is this, and then we'll get James and Kevin here. What I don't understand is this. So the woman who hit your car while driving along with her baby daddy or whoever it was, she slams into your car in a car that does not belong to her and then gets out and runs away on foot like a common coward. And so she pled guilty, finally, right? Like you wore her down.
I wore her down after 5 times that she's delayed it.
And so my question is then, what is she facing, and do you have to be there, and do you have any input into what sentence she gets?
I think they asked me what I wanted, and I'm like, what I want is a new car. Like, what the insurance company's offering me isn't going to buy me what my car was worth to me, you know, in order to buy something comparable that will work as well as my car.
But see, you're never going to get that, because you're never going to get money from her. Because people like that, that's the thing, is that criminals never have money. It's a strata of society where the money just goes out as fast as it comes in. So really, somebody who is out joyriding in a car that doesn't belong to them, who smashes into your automobile and runs away, that's a social group that doesn't have a lot of cash. You're never, and even if they had it, you'd never get it from them.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is that you ought to just push for jail time.
Well, yeah, I found out that she has a job, but she also has like 16 kids, and she's my age. Or no, she's a little older. She's like early 30s.
Maybe for the sentence, you can just demand that they take out her uterus. I would actually help with that. Because you're going to get more money in the long run saved by doing that.
Yeah.
Scotty, are we ready with the... Okay, well, let's do this. Do we have a song prepared, Sarah?
Sure.
All right. Let's welcome James, and then we'll talk to Kevin here in just a second. James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
James, how was your day, my friend?
Oh, a little wet, a little bad, but it's okay.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to play some random 80s crap for you. Sarah Dillon will be assisting you. Now, here is the thing. We are going to play this random piece of 80s music from this pile of unused CDs in the back of the 107.5 studios. If you or Sarah can correctly identify the song, you just buzz in by saying your name. And if you beat me to it, then you win a copy of The Onion's brand new book, Destined for Destiny, a pseudo-autobiography of George W. Bush. If I beat you to it, you win nothing except shame and humiliation.
Oh,
are you ready, sir? All right. Sarah?
I hope this is an 80s. This is like a Where Are They Now VH1 compilation. I don't know what
that
one.
Seems 80s. That seems okay. Like it's going to be 80s. All right, let's go.
Washed up 80s stars in their new song.
And now they're trying to take my life away.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Forever young, how can I stay? Hey! On every corner, I can't see that night. They don't know my name, they don't know my class.
Worst contest ever. But it's terrible. All right, well, we should pause this for a second. James, have you any idea?
I have no clue. I'm just going to let that one slide.
Yeah, seriously, nobody here knew that at all. All right, well, let's try... I'm sorry, Scotty J is answering it. That is apparently Promises by The Alarm. I always confused The Alarm with The Call. The Call had that song, Let the Day Begin. I always get the two of those confused. All right, let's try another track on this same Where Are They Now CD. All right, here we go. Rick. Adamant Goody Two Shoes. In your face, Brooklyn! That's what I'm talking about. All right, well, let's just take this to break. This is a great song. All right, sorry, James. Try not to let it haunt you for the rest of your day.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Can we drop this sound for just a second? Drop a level? You just keep it going there in the background. I just want to get Kevin real quickly. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir. Kevin.
Looking into your soul, Kevin.
All right. No. In any event, we'll do this. Come back after the break with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. The
just open, open.